Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen, emanating, coming at you from the multi-million-dollar Sports Byline Studios. Check it. This is the one, the only Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated, but never duplicated. Get this, 40 years. We've been knocking out bums 40 years on the radio. Straight up, never thought it would last this long. I remember when I started, it was a bit of a dare job. Somebody said to me, you can't do, I was capping on somebody doing some radio. I said, that guy sounds terrible. Well, you can't do radio. So 40 years later, here I sit, the undisputed heavyweight champion of the radio hours with the longest running fight show in history. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. When I say modest, think caps. I'm a four-time Golden Glove champion, and I'm an award-winning boxing writer, twice North American Boxing Writer of the Year, meaning just a couple of the awards I won. So I know a little bit about boxing. But guess what? The average fan, you buy the pay-per-views, or do you steal the pay-per-views? Do you? I mean, come on, tell me the truth. 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, last night was basically another pay-per-view night for the UFC, and I got to give the UFC some props because they are making money. And although I don't like their, I don't like the fighting style, I like the damage that's done to the individuals. I don't like the fact that they're underpaid. But the bottom line is, you got to give Dana White props. A couple of weeks ago, he kicked Canelo's ass when he drew $21 million. For a $27 million for a live gate at the Spear. And, of course, Terrence Crawford went there and said it was mistaken as some rapper. But the bottom line is, they showed Terrence Crawford on the screen and showed some rapper's name underneath them. Anyway, bottom line is, Crawford went there, as did a bunch of other people, because the bottom line is the Spear was sold out, 24,000 people. It was rock and roll, no doubt about that. Now, Canelo across town didn't sell that many tickets. Of course, that was the MGM Grand, a little bit smaller arena. Not that big of a crowd. But the bottom line is, of course, in the pay-per-view market, we don't know how that went. But at the end of the night, Dana White kicking ass, white privilege, call them what you want, but the bottom line is, I will talk about the fact that MMA fighters are willing to step across the line. Unlike Edgar Belanga, who fought Canelo Alvarez about 2 weeks ago, when he wouldn't step across that line, these MMA guys, they do it in every fight. It's gutsy. It's unbelievable. Anyway, we'll talk about that and more. Tommy D will be here. I'll probably reach out to Larry Merchant and see how he's feeling. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Oh no, stomach issues again?
Stomach issues?
Who are you?
Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do, but any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and speak with your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Keep listening for a free virus protection offer. Protect your computer from crashing and online scams. According to national research, one-third of all computers are infected with some sort of computer malware. And one-third of you have been a victim of online fraud. Protect yourself now with My Computer Works. We're an 18-year-old U.S.-based company with a 4.8 Google rating. We've helped your neighbors protect their computers for almost 20 years. And now you too can be protected for less than $1 a day. Get your total PC home support right now. Call our U.S.-based specialists right now and learn about our free offer. And remember, if we can't help you, our services cost you nothing. So call right now.
800-352-7618. 800-352-7618. 800-352-7618. That's 800-352-7618. Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who will offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who will sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. That's 800-251-7816.
This is J.D. Sharp. I've been developing a revolutionary sports handicapping service, and you can be a part of the beta. Sign up at BetUS.com with a deposit of as little as $50 and use the promo code SHARPBETTING. Email a screenshot of your account to WorldwideSharp@gmail.com and I'll reply personally with my plays. My NFL record this season was an industry best 72-33, and this is the only way to know all my plays the moment I make them. Let's keep making money together.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
My brother had a vasectomy a few years ago, and he found out the hard way it doesn't always work. And it can make your baby black.
Tommy D, am I stepping across the line right there?
No, not at all.
That was pretty cool, wasn't it?
That was pretty funny.
Yeah, I have to listen. That guy is really funny, but he leads down some dark, dark alleys, like into racism and sexism once in a while. So I got to really watch. I really got to watch that guy.
Yeah, I mean,
he'll get me in trouble. Much like the referees that seem to be in London, in England. Of course, we saw some bad, atrocious referees a couple of weeks ago. Then last night we saw this guy Bob Williams with his Rios fight. Of course, Rios looked like he was getting battered like with a baseball bat, and they kept letting it go. They probably how early could they have stopped that fight if it was stopped in the 10th round when the corner stopped it? When do you think it should have been stopped?
I thought it could have been stopped, halfway through the fight. After the first knockdown, I thought they could have stopped it. He didn't look like he wanted to be there, and then he kind of gutted it out after the fact, but it was just strange that 10th round stoppage, the referee didn't stop it. The corner did, and when he got up from the knockdown, he got knocked out of the ring, crawled into the ring, and he looked like he was, he was done. And the ref was really going to let him go back out?
Yeah, the ref was going to let him go. The scores were 90-80, a shutout, 89-80, almost another shutout, 88-81. Bottom line is, this guy wasn't in the fight at all. And this is the point that I keep trying to make week in and week out, and it seems to be the English referees and English officials are bringing this back and throwing it in my face and making me talk about it. The fact that they are just not stopping fights. They're just not stopping them. It's just like they want to be like the UFC. I mean, lead people down the path to be, come on, man.
Yeah, it's not cool. I don't know, as far as the officiating is concerned over there, and it's not only the UK officials. I mean, it just happens that some of these fights have been in the UK or in overseas, right? Like, not only stopping fights, but just making bad decisions on knockdowns or getting too involved in fights and breaking up, fights where they're supposedly hugging and not letting him work on the inside. You know,
how about the referee that only looks at one guy? Have you? I mean, you're watching a fight, and the referee's only got his eye on the other guy. He's got his eye on the B guy. Doesn't have his eye on the A guy at all. He's just watching the B guy. And the reason why he's doing that is because he's biased. He has this inner bias in him, whether he wants to admit it or not. That shows me that these guys have got some inbred bias.
Yeah, well, like the Joshua Dubois fight.
Oh.
He was looking at Dubois the whole time and warning him from round one.
Oh.
Right? I mean,
I didn't think
I was going to bring that up.
Oh, man. Hey, and then you know what? He looked like he was going to make a move and disqualify Dubois. I mean, he was off the wall. He might have done anything. He looked like to me that he was trying to get Joshua in no matter what. Didn't Joshua's gloves touch the ground at one point in time? And he didn't call that a knockdown?
He did, and then he didn't. Like, it was weird. Like, he waved. It was funny, like, how he waved it, it counted a knockdown. Like, he waved up in the air. It was very awkward. But his gloves definitely touched the floor. He definitely was hurt. And it's like the ref let him, you know, he broke up Dubois and gave Joshua some time, but he didn't score a knockdown. It was very, very awkward.
Speaking of Dubois, is he going to do this rematch with Joshua? Is that what they're going to do? Is it set in stone?
I hope not. I don't know. I think supposedly from what I've heard or what Eddie Hearn, you know, who always tells the truth, said that Joshua has to make that decision to take the rematch. So I'm not too sure. I would love what I want to see right now. I want to see Big Bang Zhang take on Danny Dubois. That's what I want to see.
Wow. Big Bang. I know you met him last week. You were hanging with him. How big is he?
He's a big guy, and the head on his shoulders is twice as big as the head on my shoulders.
Well, that makes it a big target. You can close your eyes and hit him.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, but I mean,
can't reach him.
I think it'd be exciting for boxing to get him in a heavyweight fight. You know, and then if he wins, it's huge.
No, listen, if you want to transform the sport of boxing and make it like a global thing once again, get a Chinese heavyweight champion. Because I'm telling you, when I went over there for the first boxing match since the Mao Zedong, the communist takeover in 1949, we did a card there in 1993, a WBO 175-pound fight, I think featuring Mike Sadio and champion Leonzo Barber. But we couldn't sell enough tickets. We just, I mean, I think the arena held like 13 or 14,000 tickets, and they were sold like within 2 days. So people were dying to have boxing come back. And I think with a billion people, and I went over there and I negotiated to take the bout. I'm sorry to go off on this tangent, but I went over to China and I negotiated a pay-per-view deal one time, and we got like a tenth of a cent or a 20. I think I got 0.2 cents, and I think I was supposed to get 0.5 cents or something like that. And anyway, I went out of this meeting and I felt all beaten up this day. And the guys, they went and bought me a drink. Oh, we're happy you got the 0.2 cents. Oh, I don't know. Anyway, bottom line is Chinese were a little bit weary back in the 90s, but now I think they've come into the mainstream, and I still think they're the best cheats going.
The best cheats?
Yeah, wow. I think listen, have you seen those MMA girls in the world of those from China? I mean, they say they're 125 pounds. They're looking like they're 170.
Wow.
I mean, they just look big. They just dominate, and I think well, all right, let's point the fingers right now. You know, people in the United States are obviously trying to cheat. I mean, you've had the guy one time, Balco, Victor Conti, he threw the 2000 Olympics. I mean, he threw it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's absolutely no doubt about the drugs that he supplied, he threw it. And, of course, he also supplied Shane Mosley with drugs for the second De La Hoya fight. Quote Shane Mosley, you know, I need something extra because this fight's going to be at a bigger weight. That's what Mosley told Conti. And I think I saw that. I think he recorded it. And the bottom line is, of course, Mosley went on YouTube. Actually, they deposed Shane Mosley, and they put it on YouTube, and he admitted all these things, but not too many people have seen it. Have you seen that one where he admitted the steroids?
I've read about it. I didn't see it or hear from him saying it.
I remember Oscar was calling me on the phone like day and night. Was he on the stuff? Yeah, and then I saw Oscar down at the in Big Bear, I think, I can't remember whose training camp it was, and he pulled me aside, and he goes, you were right all along. I said, yeah, I told you, Blood.
Wow. Speaking of Shane Mosley, he just did a comeback exhibition fight the other night. I just read about that. I didn't know.
Well, hold on. I just happened to have Shane Mosley in studio. You ready for this interview?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Hey, Shane, how are you?
I can't complain. Thanks for asking.
You're not going to believe I just did this. I said something, and Siri on my iPhone just mouthed off and said something stupid. So I obviously got to turn off the phone in a second. But the bottom line is, it is what it is. Now, back to bad officiating. Why is it so prevalent of late? This isn't common. It's not every week I want to cap on referees.
No, I don't know. I don't understand what's going on and, you know, what school or the training they've been going through as far as refereeing. I mean, we remember the Usyk-Dubois fight. That was another Dubois fight where they missed the, they called a low blow where it was obviously that the punch was good. They gave Usyk all that time. Even here when, you know, the Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia fight, right? That was the guy was over officiating and he's considered to be one of the best referees.
Do we have that clip of him, Harvey Dock, and the referee with Devin Haney? Do we have that clip? Look around for Devin Haney in that referee clip. It's a bit of a parody, but Harvey Dock was horrible that night. He was missing. He missed a couple knockdowns, and then I thought he was, you know, the way that Haney was holding, I understand that Ryan pulled a shot and clipped him, you know what I'm saying? But the way that Haney was holding, you have no idea when you've got a guy standing on the edge of the cliff of death and you're ready to push him off and he hugs onto you to the point where it's unfair and this is not anything you've ever heard of, and then you get frustrated and you pull a clip. I mean, at least Ryan didn't elbow him.
Yeah, and he could have, you know. And then even earlier in the fight when Ryan Kidd turned his back to him, you know, and exposed, like, you know, his backside or his kidneys, you know, the referee didn't warn him either. Like,
Well, let me tell you, here we have our own Harvey Dock situation here.
All right, we went over the rules in the dressing room. I want Haney to win. I mean, I want a clean fight. Y'all touch gloves. Let's go.
Ryan, I know you can't fight, boy. I saw that crazy stuff you was posting on Instagram. Ow! Bro, hey, bro, help.
Yep.
Got your back.
Save me.
Hey, Ryan, get off my guy.
I ain't going out like this.
Oh,
okay, let's go. Headshot challenge. Go to sleep.
Yeah, how you like that?
Back up before I disqualify your ass.
Whoa, hey, ref.
Man, it's a bug.
Oh.
Hey, you get up now. Five.
Hey, man, you
six,
ain't count right.
Seven.
Hey, it's been 10 seconds.
Eight. Yeah, you wait. All right, man, get your composure, okay? I'm gonna give you a few seconds. Rub it. All right. Man, back up before I swing on you.
Ref, come on.
All right, get him, Haney. Right back, Haney. Hey,
man, get off me. No diddy.
Oh!
Throw the damn towel!
Yeah. It's time. I should swing on you, beating on my dude like that. Get your ass in your corner.
There you go, Harvey Dock on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Of course, bringing up my man Diddy. Diddy's been in the news again this week. Of course, all these films are coming out. And the baby oil. It was the baby oil. What happened was he had 1,000 jars of this baby oil. Tommy D, I'm changing subjects on you here. And what he did was he put this GHB, this drug, into the baby oil. So you rub the stuff on yourself. You got loaded. You didn't know what was going on. You didn't remember what it was the next day. And when they ran a drug test on you, it came up negative because it went in through your pores and you didn't ingest it. You feel what I'm trying to say? That's genius stuff. I mean, that's evil, evil stuff, but that's genius.
I have no comment. It seems like every week I kind of set myself up for you to get a chance to take a stab at Devin Haney. And,
no, I'm not stabbing at Devin. I'm not taking a stab at Devin this week. Devin's easy enough. Devin filed suit this week against Ryan Garcia. What's up with that? You beat me up. He wants him banned for life, and he wants money. He got $1.5 million for the weight, the 3 pounds, man. He shouldn't have taken that. He should have made Ryan sweat off the 3 pounds. He didn't do it. He took the money and ran, and then he got his ass whooped because just like that little quip said, that little parody we had there, he really thought he was going to annihilate Ryan Garcia.
I think we all did. We all thought because, you know, the way Ryan was acting and it looked like he didn't take the fight seriously. He was out there clubbing every single night. You know, we all kind of thought the same thing.
Yeah, but was he running the game on all of us? Let's talk about that after the break. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Attention.
imagine then? Here's a great way to have more fun in bed and save money. If you want to take something like Viagra, they can give you a way to pay as little as $2 a pill. Yes, $2 a pill. Compare that to prices as high as $60 per tablet. These pills work for men to improve their performance and confidence. You'll love them. And now for the price of two or three pills, you can get 50 or more for around $100. You'll save hundreds of dollars off retail prices. That's enough to buy your date a nice dinner. Don't pay expensive prices for Viagra. Call now. Order 50 or more of our blue pills and pay as little as $2 a pill and save hundreds of dollars. Call anytime for confidential shipping.
Call Steel Man Pills now. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. That's 800-965-1295.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. That's 800-915-9654.
Now more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I'm getting tired of people running from me in the ring. Mike Tyson, Holyfield, you a bunch of bums. Stand up and be a man and fight a real fighter.
That was May 1989, FNN Television, George Foreman and I hooking it up after he stopped J.B. Williamson, the former light heavyweight champion, I think in four rounds. Bottom line is, George was always an event, no doubt about that. Of course, we go back to the days of Newman's Gym when I used to watch him beat up guys like the Impeccable One. I kid you not. I mean, he would beat up guys that were like 5'7", 160 pounds, 5'8", 190 pounds. And George Foreman was like walking around like 6'3", 6'4", whatever he was, okay, 6'2", like 220 pounds. He was just a bully. He was a bully. My father said he was a bully. And of course, my dad picked Muhammad Ali to beat him. And that was a bit of a joke because he was just picking with his heart and not his mind. Of course, that fight took place in 1974. The great comeback of Muhammad Ali knocking out George Foreman in the eighth round, of course, when he told George in that first round, after that first round, when he said to George, he said, "Hey, Tommy D," Ali says to George, "George, that's all you got?"
Yeah. "That's all you got?"
"That's all you got?" Oh, man. I mean, hey, I want to change gears before we get to the light heavyweight championship, and we'll get to that. Maybe I'll drag you out here into the next segment. I want to talk about the fact that boxers don't seem to want to go for it anymore. And what I mean by go for it is that, you know, it used to be a line in the middle of the ring, this invisible line to keep bringing up time and time again. The guys have to step across in order to win. Berlanga didn't step across it. Most of the guys don't want to really step across it. They don't want to impose their will. I mean, we're talking, you don't see the Hagler-Hearns type of thing anymore. More like Mayweather and whatever. Bottom line is, you know, the Gervonta Davis, of course, he's a slugger per se, but Shakur Stevenson, he sort of dulled out the sport. I think his career is on semi on hold right now. And I watched an MMA card last night, and you know I'm not a Dana White fan, but guess what? I saw guys give their all, step across the line for a fraction of what boxers make, and guess what? They put it on the line, and boxers, I know, are scared to do so. In fact, I want to say it like this, and I'm being a former boxer myself, still street fighting too, but the yeah, boxers look like cowards compared to these MMA guys. They're willing to step into the fire.
Yeah, when you make the comparison, it's not even close. And I like the fact that he brought up Berlanga, because Berlanga, you know, it looked like he was you know, making a good effort, but in my opinion, I didn't think he made a you know, I thought he was there just to survive. You know, he didn't really go for it. You know, even before that, and Charlo was just happy to be there. You know, he was happy. He got a nice hotel stay. He was in the ring with Canelo, probably got some pictures taken, and he made some good money, right? You know, so and it's just that now fighters, you know, boxers, you know, because fighters fight. Boxers are just there. They don't want to dare to be great. You know, we're out here calling for all these fights we want to see, and, you know, they're not making nobody. We're not seeing the big fights. We're, you know, we're going to see one next week, finally. We've been calling that for a while. But that's the difference. These guys, UFC, I watched last night. I don't follow UFC as, you know, I'm like you. I'm not a big fan. You know, it's something to watch, right? And
it's just wait, time out. It's disturbing. I have to change. Listen, I turn my head away from the TV sometimes when this is going on, when the stuff's going on. I kid you not. And like when I went saw a live fight down there in San Jose, the UFC and Octagon fight, I turned my face a few different times. In other words, I've seen what these guys look like 10 or 15 years later, or maybe even 5 years later, maybe even 3 years later, sometimes the next day. I mean, look at Virgil Ortiz. I don't think he's going to ever be right again after that fight. I mean, he was walking around an arena, didn't know where he was. The residual effects of MMA are incredibly, how to put it, far more devastating than they are in boxing. Yeah, boxers aren't willing to step across the line.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, it was sad to see, you know, last night, the challenger. You know, they needed to stop that fight, you know, minutes before then when he got stopped.
There was another fight on that card, and I can't figure it out to be exact, but I thought it was maybe Rafferty and Henry Turner. And the bottom line is they let that fight go too long. I mean, this guy was he was staggering around the ring, this white skinny kid. You know what fight I'm talking about?
No, I didn't see. I didn't watch the UFC.
He was staggering. I said to myself, whoa, where's the referee at? Anyway, I think the referee for that one might have been Ron Kearney, another guy from the UK. Of course, he's been refereeing for 20 years. Now, back to bad referees. I'm looking at the cover of the March 31st, 1990 cover of Flash Magazine, issue number 45. On the cover, Chavez unravels Taylor. Of course, Jack Welch gives a complete ringside view from Las Vegas. Of course, the Chavez-Taylor fight the first time. There's a Paez fight on this card. They talked about the fight being stopped too soon. I did a story on North of Las Vegas. We'll talk about it a little bit later. Greg Hawkins in an issue. Bottom line is Jeff Harding was talking about defending his title. Mike the Bounty Hunter and Jack Obermeyer did an interview. And, of course, Michael Nunn defended the middleweight championship against Marlon Starling. I was there, of course. MC Hammer was in the dress room acting a fool. Acting a fool, Tommy D. Just acting. I mean, he was acting. I said to myself, is this guy on cocaine or what?
What was he doing? Like, in what way?
He wanted to be. He was just like, hey, like almost beating on his chest. You know, like Tarzan. Hey, I'm here.
Wow.
You know, MC's in the house. And I'm saying to myself, I had a tape recorder. I want to say, hey, shut the duck up. I'm trying to record this interview here, man. All right. Anyway, well, Michael Nunn, of course, took care of Marlon Sterling. Now, what I'm trying to say is, this magazine, this is one cover, epitomizes what boxing was in 1990, the best fighting the best.
Best fighting the best. I mean, Starling, question, I think he should be in the Hall of Fame. He's not. I don't even think he's, like, nominated. You know, he was a hell of a fighter, you know, and then...
He had a guy named Mort Sharnick, who was his advisor. Mort Sharnick died about 10 years ago. He was also a CBS boxing advisor for the CBS television series. He was the nicest man in the entire world. You've never met he was a wonderful, I have to bring up Mort Sharnick, but Mort Sharnick, he managed Marlon Starling. Marlon Starling's career was cut short when he didn't look at that guy when the bell rang. Remember that? It was Molinares or something like that. I think a guy from Brazil, or maybe it was from Asia, but he wasn't looking at the bell rang, and he dropped his hands and he got knocked out.
Wow, I don't remember that.
Yeah, Marlon. I'll look that up in just a second. Well, Marlon's been on the show in the past. He was a good guy. Him and I figured for sure he was gonna kill Mark Breland, and somehow, you know, it just didn't. He beat him, but Starling. I always thought that Marlon was a little bit of a everybody was, but he was a little bit of a head case. I'm trying to find his box record right.
I know he grew up in a bad area in Connecticut, you know, so maybe that. But that fight, I think I know that fight was thrown out. I don't think they counted that fight, but I know now I remember that was they ruled it a no contest.
Okay, let me look. 45-6, of course, never stopped, according to the official record. One draw, 27 KOs, former welterweight champion. Looking at Marlon Starling's record here, lost his last two fights, lost to Maurice Blocker, lost to Michael Nunn. Of course, that fight was in 1990, April 14th. Of course, that was the Mirage Hotel. That's when Steve Wynn was spending all kinds of money on boxing, okay? And, of course, you know, Buster Douglas killed his dream when he laid down against Evander Holyfield. But anyway, I'm looking back. It was a Thomas Molinares fight. They called it a no contest. And the referee was Joe Cortez. So something about the time is 3 minutes and 10 seconds. Ruled a no contest in round number 6. It was even on one card, and he was ahead on one point on the other cards. But Molinares knocked him out after the bell. But, you know, that's on him. Defend yourself at all times.
Yeah, pretty much. Just defend yourself at all times. You're right. You know, but I like Mar. I think because the reason why I think he should be in Hall of Fame is because of who he beat at the time he beat them. Right? Like he beat Breland. That was the big one. And Breland was undefeated. Breland was known as to be this, you know, this great amateur. You know, he had great pedigree, and he went in there and I think he stopped him, right?
Yeah, stopped him in the 11th round.
Yeah. And in the rematch, it was close, though, right? I don't know what happened in the rematch.
In the rematch, they called it a draw, a split decision after 12 rounds. Of course, I think I did see that when Mills Lane was a referee. Of course, Dave Moretti had it 115-114 for Starling. Let me take it back for Breland. And one judge had it 114. Jerry Roth had it 116-113 listen, when you look at Breland's career, he was the best amateur ever. And, you know, I'm going to tell you this. When I was we're running up here on a break. Take that back. I'm having problems with my station breaks here today. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Tommy D, stick around just for a second, okay?
Okay.
All right. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
What would you do if you had a broken bone? You'd go to the doctor and use your insurance, right? Well, what would you do if you have a serious problem with drugs and alcohol? Most people do nothing until it's way too late. Your insurance can help you get clean and sober with the assistance of a place like the Detox and Treatment Helpline. Many times, addiction treatment is fully covered. So why not use your insurance to treat your addiction problem just like you would if you had a broken bone? And with the Family Medical Leave Act, you're allowed to take time off by law, and your employer doesn't need to know the reason. So there are two good reasons. You've got insurance you can use for your addiction problem, and with the Family Medical Leave Act, it's completely confidential. Call now, 800-771-4125. That's 800-771-4125. 800-771-4125. 800-771-4125.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Hey, airline travelers, let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. That's 855-325-5647.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
The Fab Four, probably going to get in some problems here with the copyright people, but the bottom line is those are the Beatles saying it's birthday time. Bottom line is happy birthday, of course, to Tommy D's lovely daughter, Tamara. She's off in college celebrating her 18th birthday. All the best to her and the entire family, Tommy.
Thank you very much. I much appreciate it.
Okay, let's talk about Dimitri Bivol before I let you go. Dimitri Bivol, of course, a minus 126 favorite, minus 135 favorite. Of course, Bivol, Beterbiev, a plus 104 underdog, a plus 115 underdog. Fights about the same all the way across the board. Bottom line is Beterbiev is an underdog after being somewhat... I thought he was favored initially, was he?
I think he was favored initially, yeah.
And what happened? His age is playing again. His age is coming into play here.
I think the age is coming into play. He's been getting injuries, you know, now and then. I think what was this, a knee injury? You know, I wonder if it has something to do, you know, with the way he trains, because he has these, you know, weird ways of training, like, you know, kind of like Drago. Like,
what about Flintstone vitamins?
It could be. I don't want to say that.
No. He's Russian. I'm not dogging all Russians, but man, Russians are like Russians. And listen, the Russians, they started the steroid cheating.
But when's the last time you've been in Russia? I mean, he's been living in Canada.
Doesn't matter. You know what I'm trying to say. The apple doesn't fall far off the tree. And of course, in Canada, he is a bit of a star up there. That's a bit of a shock that he could draw there in Canada. But I think there's a black guy that draws in Canada too, and I can't remember his name. But the bottom line is, Beterbiev is 20-0. 20 knockouts. The other guy's like 22-0 with like 11 or 12 knockouts. Hasn't knocked anybody out since the impeccable one was in the first grade. So it's been a long time. How does this statistically, according to all the experts, this is going to the points. This is going to a 12-round decision and Bivol wins this. Tell me why that doesn't happen or why it does happen. What do you think?
Well, I think Bivol has to fight a perfect fight. You know, better be of 20-0, 20 knockouts. He goes in there and he's trying to finish you. He's good at cutting off the ring, you know. And I think that's going to be Bivol's main problem, is not to fall, you know, against the ropes or get caught in any corners or anything like that. He's got to fight the way he fought Canelo, right? He's got to, you know, work the jab. He's got to stay on the outside, you know, and work. He's not going to knock Beterbiev out. I'll be shocked if he even hurts him, you know. So I'm actually picking Beterbiev in this fight. I think Beterbiev stops him in like round 5 or 6. I think there's, you know, Bivol's going through some personal issues as well. So that's got to kind of like, you know, be hindering and messing him up as well. I think he's got problems with his ex-wife. His ex-wife is out there giving secrets.
that was her, huh? Man, she's a skank.
I don't know her personally, Pedro.
No, right. You know everybody, man. I'm telling you, listen, that woman is evil.
Hey, I wasn't there.
She did everything but talk about the size of his testicles. I mean, she was like terrible.
That is kind of messed up, but listen, I don't know what's going on, but I think that's
You know what's going on. She's divorced and she's got some money coming.
Oh, big time, especially after this fight.
Exactly.
But I think that's gonna hinder on him as well. Dealing with that and dealing with a big fight like this is the first time, I believe, undisputed for light heavyweight. So that, you know, that plays into it, pressure, you know. So, you know, I'm going with Beterbiev. I think he stops him. I'm gonna call a stoppage in round 7.
You know, I think the wife better look out. You know, Graciano Rocca Jr. was run over by a car.
Oh, yeah.
And he owed, and WBC owed him millions of dollars, of course, in that settlement. And then he got run over by a car. I mean, what are the odds of being run over by a car?
I don't know.
In the country.
In the country?
He's like on a road by, anyway, bottom line is, yeah, I think he was targeted. I'm not trying to say who targeted him, but the bottom line is I do think he was targeted. Now, Beterbiev and Bivol, will it be entertaining?
I think it will. I think there'll be moments in the fight. Beterbiev is going to make it entertaining, I think. So, you know, I like him. The only thing about Beterbiev is, you know, the injury, and he hasn't fought since January, and Bivol's been active. But I don't know. I like Beterbiev in this fight. I've always liked Beterbiev, you know, to beat him ever since they've been talking about this matchup. So I'm sticking with my guns, and I'm going Beterbiev here. And I'm not picking decision. I'm picking he's going to stop him in the seventh round.
If Anthony Joshua wanted to make some money, shouldn't he just, like, not fight Danny Dubois and just wait and fight Tyson Fury?
Yeah, I agree. I think that'd be perfect. Because that fight makes money in the UK no matter what.
Even if they both lost.
Even if they both lost, that fight makes money.
I mean, 96,000 people last week or a couple of weeks ago in Wembley Stadium, man. That's crazy.
That's insane. But kudos to them, and that's a great job, man. That's great for boxing. You know, the UK is putting on big performances, big events, you know.
Okay, the UK and Saudi Arabia. Now, what about the Saudi Arabian card next week? I'm looking at it, and it looks like all these, it's a big pay-per-view card. But then I look at the Beterbiev and Bivol fight. That's on ESPN+. What's going on?
Yeah, that I don't know as far as the promotions. But, you know, there's a couple fighters on this card that I want to see. I mean, my girl is on this card.
Okay. I'm going to put it to you like this. Are you paying $89 for it?
No.
Why?
I have an excuse. I'm going to a fight in New Jersey. I'm going to see my guy, Keith Cologne, make his second pro fight in Newark. So that's why I can't spend money on a pay-per-view if I'm not going to be home to watch it.
But you would spend the $89 to watch this one, huh?
Absolutely.
Oh, God. You know what? I wish that, listen, you're not anywhere near a Bible, are you?
No, I am not.
Yeah, thank goodness. Thank goodness. I'd ask you to throw your hand on that one.
No, I can't do it because I have no Bible near me. But if there was, I would do it. I would do it.
Okay. Back to the state of boxing before I let you go. The best fighting the best, obviously that doesn't look like it's going to happen anytime soon. If the game keeps going in the direction it's going, it's going to get trounced by the UFC, and it will be a little minor sport and sooner than you can think. Now, Mauricio and his people, of course, Mauricio Sulaiman, president of the World Boxing Council, when I asked my current guest, Tommy D, Sir Thomas Dillamuth, whether he thought that Mauricio should be taken to task for the fact that David Benavidez has been the number one contender for 3 years at 168 pounds, and he hasn't been addressed as far as being a mandatory contender for Canelo Alvarez is concerned. Anyway, that and the fact that we both thought that he was there, Tommy D was live at that fight with the Oshaki Foster, Robinson Gasecko. I thought that scoring was crooked.
It was one of the worst scorings I've seen in a long time, especially live, being there live in person to watch it live.
Okay,
that was terrible.
So they're going to do a rematch at the Turning Stone Casino?
Yes, November 2nd.
You ever been there?
No, I have not. I heard it's nice.
Sort of cool, man. They used to sell, but they never sold booze there. It was a dry casino until the white folks got in control, and then they sell alcohol. No, that's just the way it was, man. It was a white man's poison. Everybody knows it's a white man's poison. But they didn't sell it on certain reservations. And if you look at certain reservations, one of the worst things going on different Indian reservations I visited over the years, having done a lot of boxing on Indian reservations telecasts, is that there's a high percentage of Indians are alcoholics.
Wow.
I mean, a high percentage of Native Americans, a high percentage on the reservation. That's all they have. That's all they do is sit there and drink.
Yeah. Wow.
And their life expectancy is in the 40s and the 50s, that kind of good stuff. I mean, these are the people, you know, listen, we are all illegal aliens. They are the real Native Americans. So I'll just leave it at that. Now, so what's happening next week? Beterbiev is going to stop him?
I got Beterbiev in a stoppage. I'm sticking with it. I'm going seventh round two, which is fairly early for a big, undisputed fight. But I'm sticking with it. I like Beterbiev. I think he's just too strong for him. I don't think he's going to show any respect to Bivol, and I think he's going to run through this guy.
Okay, real quick. Tim Zhu's fighting a guy by the name of Bakram He's a -600 favorite. What happened to Tim Zuba? I mean, besides the bad corner move there, what's happening with him? He looks like he's on the outside looking in.
Yeah, I mean, after that, I think it's a shame. And, you know, it's kind of messed up what they're doing to him, you know. He fought in a fight that should have been stopped. And he loses his title, and now he's fighting a guy that I don't know anything about. He should be somehow being in a number one contender fight somewhere or fighting, you know, a rematch against Fandora for his title. I don't see that. I mean, it's not I think – see, this is kind of what's wrong with boxing. Fandora got the opportunity because somebody got hurt, and he capitalized. After Fandora was viciously knocked out in the fight before.
Yep.
Now he wins the world title. And you don't give in the way he wins the world title, you don't give the guy a rematch. I mean, that's messed up.
You know, he was according to Terrence Crawford, Fandora was KO'd in the gym by the guy that Crawford just fought, something like that. Bottom line is, you know, big tall guys, tend to fall a little easier than short squat guys. And of course, he's 6'5", 156 pounds, 154 pounds, whatever it is. Bottom line is, he's tall, he's lean, he doesn't take a punch all that well. He probably shouldn't take a punch all that well, seeing his physical attributes. But at the end of the day, he's fighting at 154, and I don't know, is that fair? A guy 6'5", 154 pounds?
It doesn't seem fair. But we've seen him get hurt multiple times.
Yeah.
And we've seen him get knocked out bad. I mean, you know, once you connect those tall guys, they, you know, they're skinny and, you know, fighting at 154, he should be fighting. He's the same height as Deontay Wilder. Why? You know, he should be fighting at a much bigger weight. And this guy's fighting at 154. You know, I don't know. I think if he's lucky that Zuga got cut.
Let me tell you a little chin story. Roy Jones Jr., a courier showed up at Ray Leonard's hotel room. I think we were in either Oakland, California for the early prelims, or in Concord, California for the finals of the Olympic trials in 1988. Roy Jones was a star of the Olympic trials, no doubt about that. And Ray Leonard had a briefcase with $100,000 in cash in it. He wanted to sign Roy Jones and his father to a promotional deal because Ray was a promoter at that point in time. So anyway, Ray says to me, "What do you think about Roy's chin?" I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, "He's been knocked out in the gym twice with the big gloves on." He goes, "I'm scared to put the $100,000 on him." And I said, "I don't know. I don't know. I didn't want to push him one way or the other." Of course, he didn't put the $100,000 on Roy. Didn't sign Roy to a promotional deal. And of course, Roy went on to superstardom. Roy's chin failed on him, but it failed very late in his career. So that was a bad move by Ray.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, happy birthday to your daughter. Sing happy birthday to her for us. Hug the wife, all that kind of good stuff. I'm going to let you go, Tommy D. All the best.
I appreciate you, Pedro. Thank you.
You're the best. Of course, happy birthday to his great daughter, Tamara, turning 18. Of course, she's a genius in the making. Actually, she's a genius, and she's like a superstar in the making intellectually. And the reason why I say that is, of course, she got a free ride to a beautiful college, and she was 17 years old when she got this college scholarship deal. I mean, she went to college at the age of 17. She just turned 18. She's been in college now about a month. So the bottom line is, we wish the family we wish them the best without a doubt. They are like on top of the world. May they continue to rock and roll. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
My fellow Americans, let the message ring out that from this day forward, when you buy American, you buy the best. Handcrafted. Something premium. Something pure. For this is the very essence of what our servicemen and women gave their lives to protect. And by God, we shall not allow their sacrifice to be forgotten. It's time to show the world just how great American can be. And we will not wait for tomorrow to come. We will stand here, this moment, together. And we will start today.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now, before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Well, I'm on Ring Talk, and as you know, this is one of the first shows that got onto the internet. My friend Pedro is a true fighter in his own mind, I should say. But he really is. I seen him exercising the other day, getting ready for somebody. I don't know who it is, because everybody is taking shots at him, so I see him getting himself in good condition so that he can fire back. Never been one to say die, never been one to hide out. He comes on, damn near torpedoes, full steam ahead.
I guess Don King's referring to a 1990, was it the Times Square gym where I sparred with a former world champion, did real well. But the bottom line is Don King, of course, the world's greatest promoter at one point in time, 93 years old, basically done his thing. I mean, you know, let him ride off into the sunset. But he's trying to put on cards still, but the cards are very inferior. Now, let's talk about the odds. Of course, Tim Tszyu, I mentioned a little bit earlier, of course, October 19th, he's a minus 600 favorite over the guy, Murnovov, that's a plus 410. Of course, moving up, Robinson Canseco. This is a little bit scary. We talked about this a little bit earlier. Of course, the biggest ripoff of this year, no doubt about it. I mean, one judge, I think, called it even. The other two judges called it for Robinson Canseco, which to me was an atrocity, an absolute atrocity. I mean, I couldn't believe it. Oshaki Foster, I thought, won 9 of the 12 rounds easily. Anyway, Oshaki Foster, a minus 380 favorite. That's going to go down November 3rd to the Turning Stone Casino up there in, I think it was right near the International Boxing Hall of Fame up there in Canasota, New York. Of course, the International Boxing Hall of Fame does this thing the second weekend of each June. Of course, so you can visit the Hall of Fame anytime you want. But the bottom line is boxing rocking and rolling November 3rd at the Turning Stone Casino in Canasota, New York. I hope Foster comes out here and really does well. He's impressive, and he goes out there and wins every round. If he doesn't knock him out, he wins every round, because the bottom line is that was bad what they did to him the time before, no doubt about that. Some of the other odds going, of course, Beterbiev, a underdog now to Dmitry Bivol. 126 is the odds on Dmitry Bivol, minus 126. Beterbiev plus 104. I'm not too high on either guy. Bottom line is, I don't think it's a super fight that people want to see. I really don't. I mean, it's two guys that are undefeated. Yeah, they're going to clean up the issues at 175 pounds, but so what? I mean, does 175 pounds really mean that much to us? Is it that much of an exciting division? Is it like the welterweight division, the super middleweight division? I mean, it just isn't. I mean, you know, it doesn't have the fire. It just doesn't. These two guys, outside of these two guys, I mean, what is there at 175? Not a whole lot. Straight up, you are listening to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, hour number one of two. And hour number two, I'm going to go into the Mafia story. When the Mafia wanted to kill Don King, when John Gotti talked about killing Don King, I kid you not. And we'll hear this from Sammy the Bull Gravano. Of course, he was the right hand of John Gotti. We'll talk about that more in hour number two. Of course, all the upcoming fights, the UFC, and the fact that I'm going to take you into North Las Vegas, March of 1990, the night before Julio Cesar Chavez and Melvin Taylor hooked it up in the epic fight for 10 or 11 or 12 rounds, whatever it was. Bottom line is it didn't go the distance. Of course, it was called very with a few seconds left to go. But the bottom line is that was one hell of a weekend. And I'll talk about the night before in depth in hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Stay tuned for the second hour of Ring Talk Live Worldwide on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, TuneIn.com, Stitcher.com, and, of course, live on Twitch.tv right now. Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. Stay tuned for hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Sports Shorts, I'm Jeevana Scroggins on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, presented by Geico Insurance. The college football rankings will be shaken up after a wild weekend of upsets. Seven of the top 25 teams were defeated by unranked opponents. Notable upsets include number one, Alabama, falling to Vanderbilt, and number four, Tennessee, losing to Arkansas. The underdogs came out to play this weekend. That new 12-team playoff should be pretty interesting. However, some teams in the top 25 did manage to get a win this weekend. Penn State, number 7, did beat UCLA 27-11. Indiana, 23-1 against Northwestern, 41-24. Georgia, number 5, beat Auburn 31-13. Ole Miss, number 12, 27-3 against South Carolina. Ohio State, at number 3, beats Iowa 35-7. NFL action today should be pretty exciting as the Jets take on the undefeated Vikings across the pond in London. Can Aaron Rodgers take down the hot-handed Sam Darnold? Stephon Diggs, revenge game, Texans and the Bills. And the undefeated Kansas City Chiefs take on the New Orleans Saints. The Chiefs are pretty banged up, missing players Hollywood Brown, Isaiah Pacheco, and now Rashee Rice. The Cowboys are also pretty banged up, missing key players like Micah Parsons and D-Log going against the Steelers. That's your Sports Shorts presented by Geico Insurance. I'm Giovanna Scroggins on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Sports in 60 times 2. I'm Brock Hines on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, presented by Geico and Geico.com. Week 5 in the NFL is here, and this corner is blessed to be off to a 4-0 start. Last week, with our play of the day, we were on the right side of the Colts-Steelers matchup as the Horseshoes put up 27 points on Mike Tomlin's defense en route to the victory. I gave out two rare opinion plays as well, as it's hard enough getting one play right. In Jacksonville, as thought, stayed neck and neck with Houston, while Sean Payton and the Broncos not only hung with the Jets, but beat them as 8-point visiting dogs. This week I go in a different direction, one I've never gone before, and that is using a neutral site game as a player of the day. As much as I feel I have a good grip on how teams and players will fare in different U.S. venues, trying to predict a game in London to me has been a crapshoot. Having said that, my gut says the Jets Sunday morning at Tottenham's Hotspur Stadium. Sam Darnold is the top-rated quarterback in the NFL for signal callers qualifying with enough passing attempts. He owes a big assist to Justin Jefferson. Aaron Rodgers, meanwhile, is not nearly as mobile as Darnold, or most quarterbacks for that matter, but I'm not bothered by last week. Denver's defense is excellent, and I believe the problem was more situational, and gangrene was looking to this game and next week's versus Buffalo. The Jets' defense will be the stiffest test for Darnold as he faces his old team. The wild card in this is the Vikings' defense. Their pass defense is near the bottom in the NFL, but beware, that's because their opponents have been playing from behind in most cases. 4-0 Minnesota versus 2-2 New York, but the Jets are only getting 2.5? I'll take the points. Sports in 60 times 2, presented by Geico and Geico.com. I'm Brock Hines on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Sports Shorts, I'm Giovanna Scroggins on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, presented by Geico Insurance. WNBA semifinal action as four teams face off in hopes to make it to the final. The Connecticut Sun face the Minnesota Lynx. The Lynx are leading that series 2-1. And will the Aces be seen in the final, or will the New York Liberty take down Asia Williams and her team? The Liberty lead that series 2-1. MLB is hot as postseason action continues with two words, division series. The Tigers lost to the Guardians. The Guardians now leading their series 1-0. The New York Mets taking on the Phillies. The Mets taking that win 6-2, now leading 1-0 as well. The Royals versus the Yankees. The Yankees taking that win 6-5. The Padres did lose to the Dodgers. Dodgers winning that one 7-5. NFL is heating up as Week 5 rolls on with kickoff in London with the Jets and the undefeated Vikings. Can Aaron Rodgers stop the hottest team in the NFL right now with the Vikings? Speaking of undefeated teams, the Kansas City Chiefs play the New Orleans Saints. The Chiefs are pretty banged up, missing key players like Hollywood Brown, Isaiah Pacheco, and now Rashee Rice. Can Patrick Mahomes throw to Travis Kelce? Is this going to be a resurgence game for him? We shall see. That's your Sports Shorts presented by Geico Insurance. I'm Giovanna Scroggins on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495, 800-788-1495, 800-788-1495, that's 800-788-1495.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen, emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated, but hardly duplicated. Get this. I've been knocking out bums for 40 years. Straight up, 40 years, four decades of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. Welcome to hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide across the Sunday edition, October 6, 2024, coming to you from the Sports Byline Studios in the City by the Bay. Some call it the City by the Gay, San Francisco, California. But the bottom line is that's where I'm born and raised. And, of course, this show's been coming to you now for four decades, 40 years. So I welcome you. If you've been here with me, you know what time it is. But if you're new, I welcome you to the Ring Talk Live Worldwide family. Of course, welcome to the family. Some of you have been here 40 years older than dirt. Bob, if he's still alive and listening, he's been with me for 40 years. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, we are 1 week away from a big weekend as far as the light heavyweight championships concerned. Of course, Artur Beterbiev and Dmitry Bivol hooking it up. That'll be on ESPN+. That's October the 12th. There's another card, or the same card is going to be on pay-per-view. Joe Appiah and Jack Mazey for an IBF Cruiserweight title. Fabio Wardley and Frazier Clark. Heavyweights, Chris Eubank Jr. Against Camille somebody. Bottom line is, he really going to buy this on pay-per-view? Just wait and watch the other fight on the main event as far as the ESPN free fights concerned. Bottom line is October 13th and 14th, though, these are better days, I think, in the sport of boxing than the 12th. Why do I say that? Because that card on the 12th sort of sucks. The 13th, I like it. Takuma Inoue, brother of Nanoa Inoue, taking on Seiji Tatsumi. That's for the WBA Bantamweight title. There's four or five other fights on the card. And, of course, October 14th, ESPN Plus again. In the main event, Hutto Nakatani was a 29-0 living in Los Angeles, fighting out of Tokyo. Of course, he was training down there with Rudy Hernandez. Bottom line is he is the real deal, no doubt about that. And he's taking on Tasana Salapat in defense of the WBC Bantamweight title. So there's two cards, October 13th and 14th, coming from Japan. I think they're going to rock and roll on ESPN. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. We're going to dive into the mafia to an extent. Sammy the Bull Gravano. Going to go back in time when he was talking about putting a hit on Don King. Straight up, you're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
What would you do if you had a broken bone? You'd go to the doctor and use your insurance, right? Well, what would you do if you have a serious problem with drugs and alcohol? Most people do nothing until it's way too late. Your insurance can help you get clean and sober with the assistance of a place like the Detox and Treatment Helpline. Many times, addiction treatment is fully covered, so why not use your insurance to treat your addiction problem just like you would if you had a broken bone? And with the Family Medical Leave Act, you're allowed to take time off by law, and your employer doesn't need to know the reason. So there are two good reasons. You've got insurance you can use for your addiction problem, and with the Family Medical Leave Act, it's completely confidential. Call now, 800-771-4125. That's 800-771-4125. 800-771-4125. 800-771-4125.
Do you hear that? That's the sound of uncertainty lurking under your hood. You know the feeling. I know I do. That sudden sinking sensation when you see a check engine light or your car unexpectedly breaks down and you're faced with sky-high repair bills. It's time to shield against unexpected repairs with CarShield. CarShield is America's most trusted auto protection company and has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't let the fear of a breakdown keep you up at night. Trust the Shield, CarShield, and say goodbye to terrifying repair bills and hello to peace of mind. Your plan also comes with 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, rental car options, and so much more. Don't wait till it's too late. Call CarShield now before a breakdown. Protect your wallet. Protect your car with CarShield. Get our best protection ever. Call now. You'll thank me later. 800-425-2317. 800-425-2317. That's 800-425-2317.
Okay, we are running a car drive right now to help veterans all across America. So if you have an old car, truck, or van, even a motorcycle or an RV sitting around, you can right now give it away and help the vets. They really need your help. And your car will help support the vets and their families. And guess what? You even get a tax donation. Plus, we'll even come and pick up your car for free. And all you've got to do is pick up your phone right now and make a free call. Now is the perfect time to do something good for the vets. Give back to the vets right now for all they've done for this country. And your old car can really help them. So call the Veterans Car Donation Program right now for free pickup of your vehicle. Help the vets and help your taxes at the same time. Call right now.
800-215-6812. 800-215-6812. 800-215-6812. That's 800-215-6812.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
What do you think about Floyd talking about greater than Ali?
He's very delusional. He can't listen. If he was anywhere near that realm of greater than Ali, he'd be able to take his kids to school by himself. Okay? He can't take his kid to school by himself. And he's talking about he's great? Greatness is not guarding yourself from the people. Greatness is being accepted by the people. He can't take his kids alone to school by himself. He's a little scared man. He's a very small, scared man.
Mike Tyson was talking about my favorite guy, Devin Haney. No. Floyd Mayweather. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, last night on ESPN Plus, or ESPN, whatever he wants, bottom line is Ronnie Rios, of course, failed miserably against Nick Ball. Of course, he came to fight. He put on a game effort in the middle rounds, but the bottom line is he was overmatched. And let me tell you, this is boxing choreography 101. Let me put it to you like this, okay? The guy is an older guy. He hadn't fought in a long time. He's moving up in weight. I mean, moving up in weight, older guy, hasn't fought in a long time. What are the chances of him winning? Not very good. Anyway, 34-3, left 34-4. Referee stopped, I think, to take it back. Corner stopped in the 11th round. But it was pretty sad because I got 10th round. But I got to tell you like this, that fight should have been stopped a lot sooner. That referee, Bob Williams, should be arrested for impersonating a referee. Now, on the co-feature, Henry Turner lost to, he was 13 in zip. He lost to Jack Rafferty. Rafferty came in at 23 in zip with a lot more fights and kicked his ass, stopped him in the 9th round. Of course, that fight I thought should have been stopped a little bit earlier as well. Of course, the fights from across the pond are just terrible. Speaking of across the pond, Danny Dubois and Anthony Joshua did between 15 and 20,000 pay-per-view buys a couple of weeks ago here in the United States. Holy cow! 15 to 20,000. I could probably get, if I strip naked If I strip naked in the studio, I could probably get 20,000 people to tune in for that. I'm just as a curiosity. I mean, talk about the entire world or the United States population. Like, what, 350 million people? Come on, man. You got to be kidding me. And that's all I could draw was 20,000. Just shows you where the pay-per-view market is here at this point in time. And in 2024, I think Canelo has ruined it to the point where people don't want to pay for it anymore. I mean, Canelo fought, I keep talking about this time and time again, but Canelo fought Triple G, John Ryder, Charlo, Munguia. Did I miss a bum in between? I probably did. But the bottom line is, you know, he doesn't want to fight anybody good. And the David Benavidez fight will probably never happen. Now Canelo's talking to go to 175 and fighting the winner of the Bivol Beterbiev fight. It's sort of like, you know, hey, David Benavidez doesn't even exist. Well, for once, I think he's right. I think that Benavidez needs to make himself a little bit more... He needs to start talking some smack and maybe throwing water balloons or something at Canelo or something like that. I mean, go in front of his house and leave something on his doorstep. Something, you got to do something off the wall in order to get Canelo pissed off to the point where he's going to fight you, because I think you either piss him off or you shame him. That's the only way he's going to do it. So that's the way I see it. Bottom line is, you're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Looking at this February 20th, 1990 edition of Flash Magazine, issue number 42, that my man Frank sent me, Frank 1961. Of course, he watches on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. Of course, I'm looking at this. Scoring was a little fish. Of course, Buster Douglas upsetting Mike Tyson over there in Japan, a 35-1 underdog, something like that. Bottom line is, at the end of the day, Tyson lost. There was no doubt about it. Tyson lost, even though he said he had knocked down Buster Douglas and Buster was down longer than 10 seconds. Oh, okay. No. Bottom line is, a 10 count, not 10 seconds. Anyway, at the end of the day, Buster Douglas won. But Jose Suleiman and Don King, they tried to take the title away from Buster Douglas. They tried to say that the count was wrong and the referee made a mistake, this and that, but that's not the way it went down. Bottom line is, at the end of the day, Tyson got beat by Buster Douglas. Buster Douglas, of course, would lay down like a dog against Evander Holyfield just about 8 or 9 months later. But the bottom line is, he did win that fight, and he won it going away. Now, some of those other fights on this cover, Buster Erupts in Tokyo, is, of course, King and Friends, I said, almost spoiled the Tokyo Shocker by screwing it with the judges afterwards and trying to get the fight thrown out. Jack Obermeyer, may he rest in peace, KOJO, he wrote a story on Camacho, Whitaker, and Michael Moore, of course, the post-fight wins. Of course, Eric Bocher was also ringside in Atlantic City for the world title action. We did a story on Jorge Maromero Paez, of course, the Clown Prince of Boxing, and Michael Doakes, the most despicable guy I think I've ever come in contact with as far as a heavyweight boxer is concerned. May he didn't die soon enough. Oh, why do I say that, Pedro? Let me tell you. One time, a girl I was dating, in Lucy Tapia, she got into an elevator at the hotel across from the LA Forum in Los Angeles, California. It's in Inglewood. So she got in the hotel in the elevator, and Michael Doakes got in on the next floor, and he pushed himself up against her, rubbed himself up against her, started grabbing her, the whole nine yards. He was sexually assaulting her in the elevator. Had the elevator door not open and she screamed and ran out, she would have probably got raped. So when he died, no pity on my part, none whatsoever. You know, at one point, he was a small heavyweight, and of course, that fight he had with Joey Curtis was referee with Mike Doakes. I think it was, of course, that was a very... It was fixed. It was absolutely no doubt in my mind. I think that Joey Curtis was a crooked referee. I think Joey Curtis was the mob guy in Vegas. I think he was the guy that they went to when they needed a referee that was going to do what they wanted to do. And I think that's just the way it was. At the end of the day, Joey Curtis owed me some money. That has nothing to do with the fact he burned me out of some advertising money. He had a construction company. But no, I think the fact that he pulled that he stopped the fight with Mike Weaver and Michael Doakes, like, within a minute, and Weaver's a slow starter to begin with. Michael Doakes was just throwing punches. Not that he's really landed, but he's throwing punches, and the fight was stopped. Now, what would add a suspicion to this was the fact that Joey Curtis posed with Don King and Michael Doakes at a post-fight party. The referee should not have been at a post-fight party, no matter what. I'm just saying, I don't think so. I think when an official does this thing, an official leaves. That's a sign of a true official, no doubt about that. Now, looking back at the Flash Magazine, issue number 41, January 31st, 1990. Of course, this was before Tyson hit Japan. We had a story on Macho Man, Macho Camacho versus Paz, of course. And then, wow, we go back in time with that, of course. And then Dennis Andrews, of course, a former light heavyweight champion world. Lindy Lendell did a story on him from the Palace in Auburn Hills when he was fighting for the Kronk Gym. Pernell Whitaker, Emmanuel Stewart, of course, always told me that Pernell Whitaker without the boobs would have been the greatest fighter of all time. Eric Bocher interviewed the champ and his challenger as a date nearest. And of course, Big George Clubs, another, You know, George Foreman was going on the Bum of the Month Club there. Of course, I televised one of his Bum of the Month things down there. I think it was May of 1989 with J.B. Williamson. Not that J.B. Williamson was a bum, but he wasn't going to beat George Foreman. I mean, you know, he just wasn't. He was a former light heavyweight champion stepping up. Hadn't been off. Boxing choreography. He was moving up in weight. He'd been off a while, and he was old. So, you know, George's going to win that fight. No doubt about that. Of course, George then ends up losing for the heavyweight championship against Evander Holyfield the first time and then knocks out Michael Moore, I believe, in 1995. Shocks him with one punch. Of course, Michael Moore, a bit of a head case, a guy from the Kronk gym that Emanuel Stewart brought to an undefeated mark at light heavyweight. I think it was like 28-0 with 28 knockouts. An incredible light heavyweight. People don't mention what he did at 175, but at one point in time, I thought he was an unbelievable star at 175. Moving to heavyweight, he had his limitations, Michael Moore. Of course, he really did. And of course, when he did was before getting knocked out by George Foreman, he did some crazy stuff at the Kronk gym. I told you the Kronk house where Emanuel Stewart lived in Detroit. Of course, he's where he housed all the Kronk gym fighters. And of course, at one point in time, he was building bombs. I mean, come on, man. You got a little weird when you got guys building bombs in your room, okay? And then you got Gerald McClellan, like two rooms down. He's abusing dogs. So Emanuel Stewart really had a cast going on in that house, no doubt about that. But when you look at the fact that all those guys are gone. And, you know, those guys at one point in time, they all put 100% in, unlike the guys today. And I keep trying to tell you this. I'm not trying to knock today's boxers, but I guess I am. I guess I have to. Because when I watched that USC event last night, when guys are getting paid a pittance compared to what boxers are getting paid, yet they're putting their careers on the line. They're stepping across that line. I keep trying to tell you guys that in every boxing match, in every USC event, in life, there's an invisible line you have to step across in order to succeed. Okay, and guys don't want to step across that line. Not in the sport of boxing, they just don't want to do it. Guys in the UFC don't have a choice. They don't. Now, do I think that Dana White's a good guy? Do I think that Dana White's a fair guy? Hell no. I watched Dana White ruin a fighter. He ruined Brian Ortega. Brian Ortega was the most beautiful Oscar De La Hoya looking fighter you ever saw in your life in the world of mixed martial arts. He was undefeated, and he got into a title fight. I thought he was going to win this fight. I thought it was a bit of a push, pushing him in a little bit too early. But the bottom line is he got cut early, I guess against Kozanowski, but he got cut real early on the top of the head, and the hit and the cut never closed. So he bled the entire fight. I mean, there was no way he was going to win that fight with all his blood coming down in his eyes. So they ruined him there. He took two or three rounds of extra beatings. So the bottom line is, at the end of the day, Brian Ortega was ruined. That's because Dana White didn't like him. We're talking about white privilege and Dana White. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
My fellow Americans, let the message ring out that from this day forward, when you buy American, you buy the best. Handcrafted, something premium, something pure. For this is the very essence of what our servicemen and women gave their lives to protect, and by God, we shall not allow their sacrifice to be forgotten. It's time to show the world just how great American can be. And we will not wait for tomorrow to come. We will stand here, this moment, together, and we will start today. Don't ever forget how great it is to be American.
America we need right now.
Celebrate responsibly.
Do you want to add a boost to your sex life this weekend? Do you want to make your partner and yourself happy? Then call our special hotline now. We'll sell you those little pills that work below the belt for less than $1 a pill and deliver your package in a few days, just in time for the weekend. Our pill delivers almost the same results as expensive pills for less than a dollar a piece, and you don't need a prescription. And ask about their buy three, get three free offer. What are you waiting for? Boost your sex life and have a great time now. Less than a dollar a pill, discreet delivery in a few days, and a buy three, get three free offer? Dial this number and save it now.
800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. That's 800-229-8627. Paid for by the Pharmacy Shop.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Basically, this is the most outright duck, the biggest, most blatant duck in the history of boxing. You will not find a more blatant duck of a top contender in your, and if you search with your microscope through the history of boxing, you will never find a more outright duck than what Canelo has done with David Benavidez.
Wow. Good old Paulie Malignaggi, former 140-pound champion, 1996 United States Gold Glove champion out of Brooklyn, New York. Good fighter, no doubt about that. Even better spokesperson, good announcer, no doubt about that. But telling it just like it is about Canelo Alvarez. Now, let's go back in time. Of course, it was March 1990. Canelo Alvarez was a baby. Nobody even knew who he was at this point in time. The star in boxing was Julio Cesar Chavez. Of course, and he was taking on Melzer Taylor. Of course, they were going to hook it up at 140 pounds for the IBF 140-pound title that was held by Melzer Taylor. Of course, Melzer came in undefeated. I think that Mr. Chavez had that one loss to going in, but the bottom line is this was the fight of fights, no doubt about that. It was the greatest fight of all time in the minds of some people, okay? And they went 10 rounds back and forth, but the night before, I was trying to do a story on the fight, but I couldn't find any Mexicans. What are you saying? Right? No Mexicans in Las Vegas? No. So anyway, there were no Mexicans at the Las Vegas Hilton. I'm trying to interview Mexican fight fans before the fight, okay? So anyway, I get into a cab. And the cab driver says to me, where do you want to go? I said, I want to go somewhere there's Mexicans. He goes, what are you talking about? I go, there's no Mexicans here. I said, I'm a member of the media. I said, I'm trying to interview, you know, people on the radio for Mexican people as far as the fight's concerned tomorrow night. I want to know how they think their guy Chavez is going to do, blah, blah, blah. He goes, okay, I'll take you to some places where there's Mexican people. So I went to one bar, and he said, nah, this doesn't look too good. It doesn't look like it's too packed anyway. So he took me to one bar, and I jump out of the bar, and I give him like 15 or 20 bucks, whatever the tip was. It's a good tip anyway. I get out the car, and there's a big puddle of blood on the sidewalk. Okay, this is a sign probably that I shouldn't be going in this place. Okay, a big puddle of blood. I mean, this, you want to see Mexicans? That's what he told me. You want to see Mexicans? This is the place. And he drops me off, and I hear the Mexican music in the back. I mean, it's, you know, okay, I get it. Ambiance, whole nine yards. So anyway, I see the puddle of blood. I said to myself, this doesn't look too cool. You know, well, maybe somebody got sick. Yeah, right. Anyway, so I end up getting patted down to go in this place. I mean, they pat you down like you wouldn't believe. They maybe take pens out of my pocket the whole nine yards. So I get into this bar, and I start talking about Chavez, this and that. And I mentioned the fact that Chavez had lost a fight earlier in his career and that Jose Suleiman had changed the result from a disqualification to a no contest. And I explained it to these guys in detail and talked about Chavez, this and that, blah, blah, blah. And one guy said to me, you want to die? And I say, in Spanish, I couldn't figure it out. Muerte. What the hell? I have no idea what he's talking about. Right? Evidently, I was talking so bad about the guy that they were talking about killing me. I kid you not. So I backed my way out of this bar, went outside, was waiting for the taxi cab. As I was backing out, what did I step in? The blood. Yeah, I mean, it was just one of those nights. So I had blood on my shoes. I kid you not. It was one of those nights where I said to myself, you know, you're trying to get the story. And this is what I was. I was a hungry newsman. I mean, I was a hungry newsman. I wanted to get the story. I really wanted to talk to Mexican fight fans the whole nine yards. What I ended up talking was like members of the Mexican cartel. Instead, almost got killed for doing it. But the bottom line is, that was a big night, no doubt about it. Of course, but no Mexicans in the Las Vegas Hilton. Now, the next night, of course, Chavez would win that fight in that controversial manner in the 12th round. Of course, when the fight was stopped with just a few seconds left, referee Richard Steele looked over at Melzer Taylor, and Melzer Taylor wasn't looking at him. I mean, the referee said to him once, twice, hey, Melzer, look at me, look at me, look at me. And Melzer was instead looking at his corner because he had his colorful Flintstone, Fred Flintstone clone Lou Duva in the corner. He was jumping up and down on the apron. He didn't have a towel in his hand, but he was jumping up and down and making all kinds of motions on the apron. So, you know, when you're an amateur fighter, you're a pro fighter, especially an amateur, you're sort of told to look to your corner when you get knocked down. You look to your corner for advice. I never looked to my corner. I got knocked down. What's my corner? The corner ain't going to lift me up. I got to get up myself. So the bottom line is I didn't believe in that. But some guys look to their corner. And Meldrick was looking to his corner with Lou Duva being making all that noise up there and all that commotion on the ring apron. When I say on the ring apron, he was standing up on the ring. He was in the corner, but he was standing up on the ring. Okay. So Meldrick's looking at him and not looking at Richard Steele. Steele said to him once, twice, maybe almost three times, look at me. He didn't look at him. The fight was stopped. The controversy, of course, ensued. Later that night, Meldrick Taylor would go off to the hospital. I would interview Julio Cesar Chavez later that night. He told me he thought it was a close fight. He thought he was ahead by a couple of points. I looked at myself. I said, I didn't think so. But the bottom line is Chavez thought he was winning that fight. Of course, Chavez is a controversial winner in the 12th round. Now, that same night, Pernell Whitaker, the aforementioned lightweight champion, welterweight champion, the man that got robbed against Chavez, of course, in that fight in the Alamo Dome when he went 12 rounds with Julio Cesar Chavez, probably won 10 of the 12 rounds, and they called it a draw. I did you not. Of course, Jack Tatum, number 32 of the Oakland Raiders, he and I had bet that fight, and I went over and gave him my bet before the fight was over because I knew that Chavez had lost, no doubt about that, okay? I mean, the job that Pernell Whitaker did on him was just a paint job. He painted him like a Mexican picket fence, like a brown picket fence. I kid you not. So it was a smooth move, no doubt about that. But Whitaker, at the end of the day, he never seemed to get off the alcohol. It was a cocaine to an extent, but alcohol, that was his problem. I mean, when we hung around together, I always smelled booze on him. I smelled booze on him in Atlantic City. The last time I saw him, he was drunk in Atlantic City. It was about 3 or 4 years before he died. But every time I saw him, there was booze on him. I could smell booze on him because I don't drink. And when you sort of can pick up on that when other people do. But the bottom line is his sparring partners used to call me on the phone when I had that Flash hotline back in the day. Flash magazine, we talked about that a little bit earlier, writing for Flash, or Flash and Boxing Update magazine, the true boxing Bibles at one point in time, pre-internet. But the bottom line is I was writing for these publications and getting off on it, you know, and that basically was boxing's Bible. Flash magazine was boxing's Bible at one point in time. I mean, Ring magazine started to lose its luster. It was coming out once every couple of months, maybe, and it wasn't really didn't have a firm grasp on the boxing game per se. Of course, a lot of opinions. Nobody wants opinions. Opinions, you know, you can get a dime a dozen. But the bottom line is, Flash magazine offered you results. I mean, results, news, real pertinent news. Dates, times, what happened? Exactly what happened. It was a Bible of the boxing business. It was. Of course, Boxing Monthly came out on the 10th of each month, and it was as I said, the Bible. It covered all the results, the entire results of the entire world of boxing. Every promoter and or matchmaker that sent in the results got the results published in Boxing Update magazine. Now, Boxing Update is going for a couple of years, maybe about 10 to 15 years, and then Virgil Thrasher, the publisher, says, you know what? We need to do something different. I said, what do you mean? He goes, we're going to start this thing, Flash Magazine. I said, you're going to be my first writer. I said, what? He goes, yeah. He goes, we're going to start this new thing called Flash, and you're going to be my first guy. I said, really? He goes, yeah. He goes, wow. So anyway, I think he gave me a couple $100 a month to write for him, Virgil Thrasher. It was the best money I've ever made in my life. I got a whole lot of notoriety out of it, of course, and went around the world. Within a year and a half of writing for Flash Magazine, I was North American Boxing Writer of the Year. I mean, from this little tiny, you saw it's a little tiny newsletter that made me North American Boxing Writer of the Year. Of course, that's because it went into all the important people in boxing's offices. I mean, Bob Arum read it, Don King read it, all the top wigs read it, all the lower people had read it. In other words, it used to get handed down. In fact, I think that somebody from the top rank office used to tell me that they used to get it, photocopy it and fax it to different people on the road when it came out on the 20th or 30th. In other words, that's how hot Flash Magazine was, that people in the office at Top Rank Boxing would have the articles faxed to them, because the fact they wanted to know what time it was. Speaking of what time it was, best fighter pound for pound in the world, no Illinois, no doubt about that, 28-0. How about number two? How about Gervonta Davis? Think so? Maybe a 30-0. Of course, Dmitry Bivol, I don't see him as number three. I don't see Saul Alvarez as number four. Of course, I take those two guys out of the picture. So Terrence Crawford didn't look all that good in his last fight. Bedev, of course, got something to prove next week against the aforementioned Dmitry Bivol. Junto Nakatani going to fight in October as well in Japan. Of course, he is the WBC Bantamweight champion. The number eighth fighter, pound for pound in the world, I think, is David Benavidez. And BoxRec thinks as well. Of course, you don't see him on any of the lists as far as challenging Canelo is concerned. Of course, then last week or 2 weeks ago, David Benavidez said something to the extent where he's going to make it a public point to challenge Canelo. I don't know what's going on here. Sometimes I have the the impression that David Benavidez is being bought and paid for, that he's like a stooge, that he's like Canelo's puppet, Canelo's hand puppet or something like that, Charlie Murphy. I mean, just like telling him what to say in this, because he doesn't say things that would benefit him as a professional fighter or his career. I just don't get it. So David Benavidez, hottest fighter in boxing, I think he's the best fighter pound for pound in the 168-pound division, no doubt about that. As far as being number 8 on the pound for pound list, I think I'll give him that. But Bedev, we'll see what happens with him and Dmitry Bivol next week. Of course, Bivol the betting favorite, but I got to go with. I like boxers over punchers. I usually do. I like, because you know, punchers, you can usually avoid the punch. If you avoid the punch, you can avoid getting hit. You know, you're okay. But then again, you can't avoid getting hit too long because eventually the stuff catches up with you. Like last night, wow. Alex Pereira fought Khalil Roundtree for the UFC Light Heavyweight Championship. Khalil Roundtree fought a great fight for 2.5 rounds, but he got stopped in the 4th round. It was one of those brutal beatings I've ever seen in my life. Of course, I should have stopped it earlier, but Alex Pereira, he's a guy that weighed in at 205 pounds, but get us, when he fought at 185 pounds, 3 or 4 fights back, he moved up in weight. When he fought at 185, he would come in the ring at 220 pounds. He would gain 40 pounds overnight. I kid you, how the hell can you gain 40 pounds overnight? But he did it. Anyway, Alex Pereira, way too big for Khalil Roundtree. Roundtree fought game the first couple of rounds, but it was over in the fourth. The time was 4:32. They stopped the fight, TKO. I want to wish him the very best luck as far as his future is concerned, because Khalil Roundtree needs to go get himself a job. I kid you not. Juliana Pena beat Raquel Pennington for the Women's Bantamweight Championship, 118-pound title. It was 48-47, 48-47, and 48-47. One judge had Raquel Pennington winning. Of course, she was the former champion, but she lost this fight on a split decision. Some of the other fights on the card, want to mention the fact Kevin Holland deserves to retire. His corner stopped the fight, but the bottom line is he was getting licked like a stamp against Roman Dolzy. Put it this way, when you get into a fight and they put you in, you're older, you're inactive, and they move you up in weight, you're getting your ass kicked. No doubt about that. And that's what happened last night. Now, the female fight on the card I thought was pretty exciting. It went to a unanimous decision. Take that back. Unanimous decision, 30-27. Kayla Harrison beat Kaylin Vieira, 30-27, 30-27, and 29-28. I thought it was a little bit closer than that, but the bottom line is it is what it is. And, of course, it was a good fight, no doubt about that. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. This next week's card will do less on pay-per-view buys than the Dubois-Joshua fight did. They did 15 to 20,000 in the United States. They'll do less. Do worse. Why? Because it's not pay-per-view quality. Sorry, it's just not. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Don King and the Mob after the break.
Attention men, here's a great way to have more fun in bed and save money. If you want to take something like Viagra, they can give you a way to pay as little as $2 a pill. Yes, $2 a pill. Compare that to prices as high as $60 per tablet. These pills work for men to improve their performance and confidence. You'll love them. And now for the price of 2 or 3 pills, you can get 50 or more for around $100. You'll save hundreds of dollars off retail prices. That's enough to buy your date a nice dinner. Don't pay expensive prices for Viagra. Call now. Order 50 or more of our blue pills and pay as little as $2 a pill and save hundreds of dollars. Call anytime for confidential shipping.
Call Steel Man Pills now. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. That's 800-965-1295.
My fellow Americans, let the message ring out that from this day forward, when you buy American, you buy the best. Handcrafted, something premium, something pure. For this is the very essence of what our servicemen and women gave their lives to protect, and by God, we shall not allow their sacrifice to be forgotten. It's time to show the world just how great American can be. And we will not wait for tomorrow to come. We will stand here, this moment, together. And we will start today. Don't
celebrate responsibly.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money. And you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
But he has a shock in store for him. He has two great chances, slim and none, and Slim's out of town.
Okay, let me tell you a little story about Don King. Don King was a numbers runner. That means he was a bookie. He didn't bet on horses. He bet on, like, he would have, like, you know, whoever won the first five races at Pimlico Racetrack. In other words, like, they would do the numbers. Like, the one horse won the first race, and the nine horse won the second race, and et cetera. It's just like a lottery. It was an illegal lottery. That's just what it was. It was the illegal lottery. Of course, he ran this lottery in Cleveland. He called him a numbers runner. At one point in time, a guy by the name of Sam Garrett owes him $700, $600 plus some change. Anyway, Sam Garrett was a junkie. He was a heroin addict. He was like 120 pounds. He was like just, you know, dilapidated guy that was like ready to die, no doubt about that. And Don King encountered him one day and said, "The man, you owe me the money." And Don King put him on the ground, started kicking him. Or he's kicking the snot out of this guy. So he's kicking this basically disabled guy that was on the ground. These Cleveland cops roll up on him and say, "Stop it. Halt right there. Halt right there." So what did King do? King kicked him one more time and killed him. That's how Sam Garrett died. So Don King went to jail alleged originally for murder, murdering Sam Garrett. They reduced it to manslaughter, and then I think he was given a pardon by the governor. So that took care of Don King. But that wasn't the only time Don King killed anybody. Of course, there was another time when somebody walked into Don King's office. Actually, two guys walked into Don King's office with a gun and tried to rob him and his future wife, Henrietta. Henrietta King ended up being Don King's wife. She died about 10 years ago from Alzheimer's, but she was the wife of Don's business partner. What put it like this? There were two mobsters together, and Henrietta was married to the other guy. And then when the other guy died, they sort of became they sort of got together and got married and sort of brought the business together. But Henrietta and Don King, of course, were a couple that wasn't Carl King's mother either. It was Carl King's mother, but it wasn't Don King was not Carl King's father. Anyway, let me set that straight. So anyway, here we are. Don King's doing his thing. I mean, he gets out of jail in 1974, ends up promoting Muhammad Ali and Ernie Shavers in some type of exhibition in a hospital, this and that. Before you know it, he's got the president of Zaire, Africa, willing to give him several million dollars to put on a Muhammad Ali, George Foreman fight over there. But the bottom line is, of course, he would rape the country. The country would never be the same. They would go bankrupt. Everywhere Don King went, he raped people. Guess what? Here's one spot where he almost got raped.
Boxing, gambling. Did you guys ever do anything with Don King? Any contacts with Don King?
Yes. I went in front of a grand jury. I was subpoenaed in front of a grand jury for boxing. When I was there, I was out with John Gotti. Mike Tyson was the Now, I had another guy, and I can't think of his name. I knew the trainer, and I knew the black guy. I was training in the gym with him occasionally. He was a tough fighter, and he was a little bit over the hill. So I thought of a thing to set up a fight. I wanted him, and someday I'll get the name. I can't remember it right now. But I'll get him to fight the champ in Italy. The champ in Italy was with two brothers who were both made guys in the mob. So I'm reaching them through the Italian people. I want this guy to come in and fight my guy, the black guy. And my guy will win. So he gets your belt. So if he wins and he has your belt, I want to hook up a fight with Mike Tyson, and I want big money because it's a championship. He's got a belt, you got a belt. The numbers are bigger. We know that Mike could probably beat you. Now, if the people around Mike want to make him duck a fight, I don't think he would do that. But then it's another story. but we never got that far. The Italian guy had to come here and fight a lesser opponent first before he fought my guy. And he lost to that guy. So now the thing is off. But in the process of all of this, John knows what's going on. I have a guy, a street guy, I can't even think of his name, but he's going to Don King talking about a potential fight. He's not having a lot of luck. Don King stands up. He don't want to, no part of this thing. He mentions John Gotti, this, that. I'm a tough guy. I went to jail for this and that. John, I'm not doing any of that bullshit. So the kid comes back and tells me. So I said, John, forget the whole thing now. It ain't going to work. He won't do it. Don King won't do what we want. Did you tell him to mention my name? Yeah, I did. He don't want to be bothered. He said he's a tough guy. He did time. Really? Yeah. Tell the kid to go back, make another appointment, and kill him. Do you want me to kill Don King? No, not you. The kid, this guy. You want me to tell this kid to go back and kill Don King? Yeah, well, hit him with a proposal. If he says no, take a gun out and shoot him. All right. That's what you want? Yeah. All right. I grabbed the kid. He was in the kid. He's a guy, you know, who's tough. Listen, you're going to go, you're going to hit him with this proposal. If he says no and gives you that shit, I'm a tough guy, take the gun out and shoot him. Shoot him right in the head. Kill him. You want me to kill Don King? I said, it's not me. John wants you to kill him. What do you want me to tell you? You got to kill him. He took off. The kid took off. I'd never seen hide hair of him again. He must have left the country. I don't know where the f*** he went. He took off. So we never went after Don King because I didn't want. I'm definitely not going after him because this is insane now. We're hitting the guy because he don't want to do a deal. We'll be hitting guys every other week.
Sammy the Bull Gravano, of course, at one point in time, John Gotti's right-hand man, no doubt about that, telling it like it is about Don King now. Don, of course, is living in Florida. Of course, he moved to Florida because of tax reasons and the fact that he couldn't get sued as easily as he could in other states when he was living in New York, et cetera. But the bottom line is he's sort of like holed up in Florida for the past 10 or 15 years, isn't doing a whole lot in the world of promotion. In fact, I reached out to Christy Martin, the former the coal miner's daughter. Of course, she was an icon in women's boxing about 15 or 20 years ago. But the bottom line is I thought she was running Don King Productions. I thought she was like the COO or the CEO, whatever. Bottom line is she says he's doing nothing but some of the TV as far as arranging interviews are concerned, but she does nothing else. So Don King's last few cards have been terrible. May he rest in peace, because for all intents and purposes, Don King is dead already as far as being a promoter is concerned. 93 years old, let him go. Best fighter pound for pound, we'll talk about it again. The Noah Noi going to go December 25th, looks like Christmas Day. In Japan, I would like to go over for that, no doubt about it. Gervonta Davis said number two guy, 30 and zip. Dimitri Bivol, number three. Bivol, of course, beat Canelo Alvarez. Alvarez ranked number four. Should have an asterisk next to that one. Of course, Terrence Crawford, number five. Beat Abed, number six. Nakatani, number seven. Benavidez, number eight. Number nine, Shakur Stevenson, very dull. Number nine, number 10, Devin Haney. Good old Devin Haney. Devin Haney was in the news again this week. Of course, Devin Haney is undefeated after he got his ass kicked by Ryan Garcia. How does that figure out? Well, Ryan tested positive for something, but that didn't have nothing to do with the fight, did it? I mean, come on. I mean, Ryan was beating him like it was like Ryan should have been. Listen, if it had been correct, Ryan would have been arrested that night for domestic violence. He beat up on. I mean, that was like, good God. Devin Haney, of course, Devin Haney went down seven times in the fight, right? Seven times in the fight. I think four officially. The referee blew the counter a couple different times. But the bottom line is this fight didn't take place, a fight with Ryan Garcia. It just is called a no contest now. Of course, he was down was in the seventh, the 10th, and 11th, but I had him down like four times, I think, in the round seventh. But the bottom line is, of course, Ryan Garcia penalized in the seventh round for hitting on the break. But the bottom line is, you know, I mean, Devin Haney was holding. Now Haney's going to sue people. He's going to sue both. He's going to sue both Ryan Garcia and Golden Boy Promotions and the State Athletic Commission and everybody else because he feels he was wrong. Listen, when the P. Diddy tapes come out and he found out that he was rubbing that baby oil on him, had the GHD or whatever, the GBH, whatever it is, that kind of that drug in there, okay, when all this stuff comes out, David Haney's going to look like a clown. He will look like a stone cold clown because he got turned out by Puff Daddy, okay? And anybody that went to those parties, I read a lot of those transcripts and the suits have been filed, this and that, but if you went to those parties, you stayed after like 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, it was on. I mean, it was on. Like, more people were naked than weren't people. Nobody wore any clothes. And as I said, the baby oil thing, it was mixed with drugs. So you would rub this baby oil on your body. It would drug you out. But guess what? You wouldn't know it because you wouldn't remember the next day. And it wouldn't show up in drug tests because it wasn't ingested. I mean, it's a genius, like a Simon Barnes Sinister, some type of super scientist type of move by the by these people. You got to give them props for that. But outside of that, I don't know. And as far as chemicals are concerned in boxing right now, do we need to test everybody? Of course, we tested people for a long time, and some guys came up dirty. And then when guys came up dirty, like Oscar Valdez, the WBC decided to raise the limits. In other words, you know, just raise, you know, if he came in dirty at 7, we'll raise it to 9. If he's a dirty at 8, we'll raise it to 10. I mean, that's just the way the WBC is doing things. And of course, the World Boxing Council, call them the world of bunko and chicanery, call them what you want. Of course, not founded by Jose Sulema, but he was part of the nucleus that put this thing together back in 1962 or 1963 down there in Mexico. Of course, he was upset over the fact that Mexican fighters weren't getting a fair break on the world stage. Of course, then he brought in the World Boxing Council. And, of course, the WBA, the World Boxing Association down there in Venezuela, the oldest sanctioning body that's still around. Of course, I think the International Boxing Federation might have been a different one. But the bottom line is, you know, the WBA, the World of Bunko and the World of Bunko and Anarchy, of course, is run by Gilberto Mendoza Jr. His father ran it. Why are these things family orientated? I don't get it. It's one big family runs. The Sulemans run the WBC. The Mendoza run the WBA. I mean, come on, man. What's going on? It's supposed to be like, you know, an even playing field, and it's not. Because when you look at the WBC ratings, you're just like, you say to yourself, you scratch your head, you say, how can stuff even exist? Straight up, let's talk a little UFC. Of course, UFC 307, I talked about that last night. But the upcoming UFC events, let me tell you what Dana's been drawing. Dana drew 17,000 people last night, 17,487 people for a $5 million gate. It was a low-budget gate there in Salt Lake City. Of course, that was the Piera card with Roundtree. Of course, last week, they did UFC Fight Night. That was in Paris, France. They did 15,000 people for that, okay? The week before that, they did UFC 306 at the Spear. September 14th, they did 16,000 people for that. Wow, holy cow. August 18th, they did UFC 305. 14,000 people. I mean, holy cow. You don't see boxing crowds coming up like this. UFC 304, Edwards and Muhammad II. It was held in Manchester, the UK. 17,900 people, okay? 2 weeks before that, Rose Namajunas took on, she defended her championship in Denver, Colorado, 16,000 people. I mean, before that, the week before that, 18,000 people. What I'm trying to tell you is that Dana White's doing something right. I don't like the sport. I don't like the fact that people are destroyed. I don't even like the slapping thing he's got going on now, where people get slapped into unconsciousness. I mean, if you ever want to get a concussion or brain damage, let somebody slap you hard. I kid you not. Slaps are worse than punches. They jar the body sometimes worse than punches. Jar the head. My mother slapped me one time. My ears rang for 3 days. That's all I can remember. I've been hit in the ear many times, but never got slapped like my mother slapped me, no doubt about that. But back to this UFC thing. They are making money. They're making a lot of money. They're not paying the fighters. I've talked about that before, where fighters make 10 to 15% of the actual revenues, and that's just not good, okay? They should try to carve themselves out a better cut, but when you're with Dana and Dana's running the show, it's all about Dana. Dana calls the shots. He's a matchmaker. He decides what kind of purses you get. He makes the fights. He is the UFC. There is nothing in the UFC. If the whole UFC can go away and Dana White was still standing there, the UFC would still stand up, I kid you not. So he is the primary force behind the UFC, and of course, he's made lots of money. I give him props, got a private jet, all kind of good stuff. That's cool, but the bottom line is that stuff is just way, way, way too brutal, and I can't get off on it no matter what. It was something to watch last night, but the brutality is just too much.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. That's 800-915-9654.
Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who will offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who will sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. That's 800-251-7816.
We all love children, and many of us have an old car, truck, or van in the driveway. Find the Children has a great way for you to put your unwanted vehicle to good use. Keep listening. Every year, thousands of kids go missing. Trust me, it's a parent's worst nightmare. When a child goes missing, every moment counts, and you need all of the help you can get. Find the Children is a nonprofit organization dedicated to locating missing children and bringing them home safely. You can help support their mission by donating your car, truck, van, or SUV. A towing company will come and pick up your car for free, running or not, and the donation of your car is tax deductible. Your help is providing the funds they need to continue their services. Call now, donate your old vehicle to Find the Children and get free pickup. Here's the number.
800-670-7830. 800-670-7830. 800-670-7830. That's 800-670-7830.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Just what do you think of him as a fighter, huh?
Well, his footwork's lousy. He can't counter punch. His timing stinks. And he doesn't breathe properly.
But you like him as a person.
Well, he has a nice smile.
Darkest of night with the moon shining bright. There's a set going strong. A lot of things going on. The man of the hour has an air of great power. The dudes have envied him for so long.
Never bragging when you're telling the truth. At least that's what mom said. Bottom line is I'm having some tongue issues today. I'm glad the show's going to be over in a couple of minutes. I'm telling you, man, I'm having more problems talking today. It's a new thing to me. Like, English is a new language or something like that. I was ready to unmute the impeccable one in the other room, let him do the show. I'm just stuttering and stammering all over the place. So the bottom line is it's been a bit of a train wreck, so I thank you for hanging with me for the 2 hours. Of course, you people on Twitch TV especially. Anyway, let me talk about October 12th. Of course, the main event. Beater Bev and Bivol for the IBA, for the World Light Heavyweight Championship. The pay-per-view card is Jay Opaia versus Jack Mace for the IBF Cruiserweight title. Fabio Wardley versus Frazier Clark, a heavyweight contest. Chris Eubank versus Camille Cerventa, and that's a middleweight contest. And Ben Whitaker versus Liam Cameron, a light heavyweight contest. Let me tell you like this. This isn't worth stealing. It's not worth stealing, so don't even steal this card. I mean, you want to watch the main event, you can watch it on ESPN for free. But don't even bother stealing this card. It's not worth stealing. I can't believe they're trying to put this crap on TV. I mean, maybe this is going to draw somewhere where Opaia down there in Australia, I think he's from Australia, New Zealand, maybe it'll draw down there. But as far as the world stage is concerned, I don't think so. Fabio Wardley and Frazier Clark, you got to give me a break. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA, of course, coming to you from the Sports Byline Studios in the City by the Bay. Some of the questions I got here regarding Freddie Pacheco. Freddie Pacheco always used the N-word around me. I mean, he used to call me an N-word, and you know, and I almost said it right there. And Peckham was looking at me, don't say it! Anyway, but he used to call me the N-word a lot, and Freddie Pacheco was Cuban, and he had some black blood in him, so he used the N-word a lot. So I just pretty like it. Did I ever work with Freddie Pacheco? I love being around Freddie. Freddie was a firecracker, because he was always lit. It was like the fuse, just when is it going to explode? When is he going to say something that's off the wall, something that's totally, just absolutely, I mean, he says stuff like, He popped off in front of Tyson one night, and I said to myself, oh my God, this is going to get ugly. And Mike Tyson respected him because he was an old man. Okay, or Mike would have slapped him. I kid you not. He said something very disrespectful to Mike, and Mike walked past him, and I said, man, Ferdy's drinking. That's what happens with Ferdy. Alcohol, good old alcohol, you know, makes brave men out of not so many brave men, but the bottom line is it is a white man's poison. Straight up, this has been Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA. I got a weird thing here as far as the upcoming schedule is concerned, so I'm not going to go into it in depth, but the WBO sort of ordered a guy to fight, and I don't get that. We'll talk about that next week if we get the time. But don't forget, upcoming fights, of course, the 12th, Ardar Beterbiev, the 13th and the 14th are going to be fights from Japan. Of course, the 14th is going to be Junto Nakatani defending the WBC Bantamweight Championship. So that's going to be a fight you want to watch. It'll be on ESPN+. ESPN+ has boxing the 12th, the 13th, and the 14th. Don't buy any pay-per-views. Straight up, the next Prime, Amazon Prime pay-per-view is going to be Tim Zoo. That's going to be October 19th. Until next time, keep your hands up, keep your chin down. Let me clear my throat for the last time. I've stuttered all throughout this tower show. I'm still stuttering. Bottom line is I got to get out of here. Much love, much peace, much respect. Ring Talk is a production of the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. I think so.